Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello and welcome to Turn the Light On. This is Martita Stanton speaking with you. Kevin is not here again today. However, my good friend Patty Wilson is joining me again, so we're going to have a great time again today.
Amen. Good morning.
Yes, we had a great time yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
And so I am so looking forward to it. As you well know, we do a topic every day, and today's topic, Patty's bringing it in, so I'm letting her share and tell me how the Lord brought you to this.
All right. My topic today is overcoming evil with good. And of course, we're thinking a lot about that because of what's going on right now with the war,
yes,
with Israel and that.
It's easier said than done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we can see all of the evil that's taking place right now. And we have to purposely look for the good.
Yes.
In every situation and circumstance. It boggles your mind. You can't see any good in what's going on right now. There is some good because we do see our country beginning to pull behind Israel.
Yes.
And we also see the negative of that. And we have to be careful because we want to love on people. We want to share the good news of the gospel with people because most of the people are being persecuted for their faith, and we always have been, always will be,
yes,
persecuted for our faith, so we shouldn't be surprised by that. Scripture
right.
tells us not to be surprised by that, and we'll read that, but God gives us a guideline on how to handle evil and how to deal with persecution and all those different things that are coming at us. So I'm going to read 1 Peter 3, 9 through 12. And it says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to do this, you were called so that you might inherit a blessing. For whoever will love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it." I'm going to say that again. Seek peace and pursue it. "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So this here is telling us, do not repay evil for evil, insult for insult. That's kind of the opposite of what the world teaches us.
Oh, yeah.
They teach us an eye for an eye. You know, if somebody does this to you, then you do this to them. And or we tell people, well, I did this because you did this to me. So we think we're justified in our bad behavior.
That's right.
And, you know, clearly God teaches us the opposite.
Okay, so the big question is, how are we able to do that? Because let's be real. We walk in the flesh, and if somebody slaps me on the face, my first reaction is to slap him back.
Right.
That's
our human nature.
That's
yes.
right. So how do we not walk in our human nature to be able to do this?
We have to have the Spirit of God. We
Amen.
Can't do it in and of ourselves. It has to be through the Spirit of God. And it's a tough one, but it's a training. We have to renew our mind. And as we renew our minds and tap into the Spirit of God, we're more able to walk in love. Of course, if we experience God's love, his grace, and his forgiveness, we talked about that on yesterday's show, in our own lives, it's easier to show the grace and the mercy of God because we've experienced
it. So the first thing, and I'm, you know me, I'm going to throw questions.
Come
because
on.
Because for the people that are listening, let's say there's somebody new listening to us, they never heard us. How do you get the Spirit of God to be in you?
You have to ask him.
That's right.
Just like being born again, just like being saved, you invite him in.
So first we got to ask, Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a relationship with the Lord for the Spirit to come and live inside of us.
That's right.
So there's little steps that we need to take for the ones that are listening, for the ones that are believers, and we know this, awesome. But if you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to just receive Him as your Savior. Yes. And then the Spirit of the Lord will come and live in you. And then what we're asking you to do to overcome evil with good is possible, because the Spirit of the Lord will work with you.
Yep.
And then you will be able to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh.
Fulfill the lust of the flesh is That's what right. the Word tells us. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that scripture says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new."
Amen.
And I'm going to read this quote here from Hagen, because mm-hmm. I just love this. And it really helps you to understand that scripture a little bit more. "A Christian is not renovated like a mattress. He's a new creature. He's not just made over. He's a new creature, something which never existed before." One translation reads, "He is a new species." That's mind-boggling, wow. isn't it? That's what the wow. word says. We become a new creature, a new creation, something that never existed before. The Christian at new birth doesn't have a new physical body, though we will one day. It's the man on the inside who's a new creation. The old man who used to be there is gone. The inward man is the real you. That's amazing. The inward man is the real you. And the inward man, the real man, is a new creation. He takes on the very life and nature of God. So you need to hold fast to your confession that you are now a new creation, a new creature. Isn't that awesome?
So I'm going to add to that, because you said that we need to renew our mind. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. You're telling us who we are, the new person. So I'm going to just bring confirmation to that with Romans 12:2. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect."
Awesome.
So as you said, the moment we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, our spirit is completely new and it's whole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No sin. It's connected to the Holy Spirit. It's connected to the Father and Jesus Christ. Our minds, though, like it says, you know, when I accepted the Lord, I changed, my inner man changed, mm-hmm. but my mind and my body did not. I was still Martita.
Yep.
I still had the old thinking, and I needed to renew my mind with the Word of God to know who I am in Christ and what I have in Him to be able to be different and learn my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. But if I don't know, my spirit was there, but I wasn't connected to it. It's like if I walk in a dark room and there's electricity and there's lights, but unless I turn that switch on,
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be light.
That's right.
My spirit was there, but now I need to learn what that is and how to connect to it so my mind and my body can connect to it and become one, like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Spirit is real.
Yes.
You know, He's a person.
Yes.
And, you know, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we can rely on all three of them. Three in one, but three different personalities.
That's right.
And so...
And that, perfect. We are a spirit, soul, and body.
Mm-hmm.
We're one, but we have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And a lot of times they're not working in unity.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what we want to bring them to, work in unity. And instead of walking in the flesh and have that to be the strongest point, to have the Spirit lead, because it's connected to the Holy Spirit, we will look at things differently and we change the way we react.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And let me share a testimony.
Go ahead.
Because it just came up. When I came to know the Lord, I was 17 years old. I was changing, I was learning, but I worked at a McDonald's and my mouth was not the cleanest. Okay. I came to the United States and I was persecuted because I was Hispanic. And so I'm a white Hispanic. So the Caucasians did not like me because I was Hispanic. The Black American did not like me because I was white. Okay. This is in 78. Mm-hmm. So I never experienced that before and it was very hard. So I had to become very hard and harsh to survive. Mm-hmm. Then I came to know the Lord and slowly I started changing. It wasn't that I was trying. It was that I was getting closer to the Lord and automatically my actions started to change the way I thought started to change without me really paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I can't do this. I have to do this. It was, I got closer to the Lord and the Spirit in me just started to teach me and flow through me and I started to change. And people will come to me and say, what is it about you that you're different?
Awesome.
You are changing. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? And how are you be able to do this? And I was able to say, it's not me. It's the Lord. And me getting closer to him is changing me. I didn't have to quit doing things. Mm-hmm. I little by little stopped doing those things because I became somebody else.
That's it. Becoming that new creation. That new creature is taking over. The Spirit is taking over. And it is a natural, gradual process
yes.
that we go through. It doesn't have, now, the conversion, you know, it happens immediately.
Definitely.
You know, it's a done deal. When we receive Christ, it's a done deal. You are that new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But like you said, then we walk it out. And it's not even such a conscious thing. I mean, I think when people first start saying to you, because I mean, I experienced the same thing, is what's going on in your life? There's such a difference in you. Mm-hmm. I see the change in you. And we don't even necessarily think about it or see it. We're just living our life. But others are seeing. They're noticing. And that's what it's all about. That's what we want to take yes. place. That's what we want to happen. I know in my life, I'm going to read this scripture, 1 Peter 4:12-19. And it says, suffering for being a Christian. See, you were being persecuted because you were different.
Yes.
And having trouble fitting in. But then we become a Christian and we're changing and people are seeing the difference, but not everybody's going to like the difference that they see taking place in
that
our lives.
So true.
Because when they see the difference and they see the changes that we're making, then they're convicted of their sin and the way they're living, and they don't like that. Mm-hmm. So then they begin to persecute us for doing right, for doing good. It's like, geez, you know, but God.
Amen.
So I'm going to read this scripture. This is 1 Peter 4:12-19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that's come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, and you know that's what people are seeing. Mm-hmm. They're seeing the Spirit of God, the glory of God resting on you. That's what's changing your countenance.
Yes.
That's what's changing you. That's what they're seeing. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. I'm going to pass by that because I want to read this in the Amplified because I think it's going to bring a greater understanding. I'm going to go down to verse 19. Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with the will of God must continue to do right and commit their souls for safekeeping to the faithful creator. So he's saying, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves. And if you read that in the Amplified, that word themselves means your soul. So you're committing your soul to the faithful creator to continue to do good. Well, what is your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions. Those are the things you're dealing with when you're being persecuted.
Yes.
By others because of your faith or your race, whatever it may be. So it's your soul that you're dealing with, and it hurts your soul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, your soul wants to lash out.
Mm-hmm.
It wants to be evil. The old flesh, that old nature wants to take over. And, oh, yeah, you want to say this or you want to do this, then I'm. But you can't. Because we're not living by our souls any longer. We're not led by our soul, but now we're led by the Spirit. So how do we handle our souls? We must be able to overcome the evil and do good now because the Spirit is living in us, and it's not our soul that's taking over. And I was confronted with this in a big way with family members. And because I was a Christian, there were certain family members on my husband's side who decided that they didn't want anything to do with me and didn't want anybody else in the family to have anything to do with me. So we would go up there every year, once or twice a year on vacation. He's got a big family, so there were a lot of them. And I began to notice that every time I came into the room, everybody would get up and leave and go into another room. And I thought, no. Can't be. So I'd get up and go in the room where everybody else was. They'd all get up and they'd leave the room. And this went on a few times, and you know, I just couldn't believe it couldn't be that blatant. I mean, yeah. They wouldn't really be doing that. And
especially
I knew
from family.
Yeah. And I knew it was coming because from one member in particular. It was mm-hmm. her idea. Because when I was around the others and she wasn't there, it didn't happen. It was only when she was there. She was kind of like the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And well, like one of those mean girls, you
yeah,
know, in high school.
On.
Yeah. And so the last time it was very blatant. I mean, in your face. And I kept telling my husband, you know, this is really getting, even the kids are leaving the room when I come in. And now you're crazy, he said. I said, you watch. Mm-hmm. You watch. And so he began to watch for the next couple days. And sure enough, if he didn't see it, that every time. So he decided, well, your vacation, you deserve a good time. So he got a hotel down the road with a big pool and that for me and the girls. And of course, that made it worse because then they were really coming at me when I got back. And so I just decided at that point, I'm not going back. That's it. Well, we got home, and about, I guess, 5 days after we were back in Florida, I got a phone call, and it was one of my nephews. And he'd never called me before. He said, Aunt Patty, this is Corey. And he said, did anybody tell you about me while you were in New York? And I said, no, are you okay? He was in the service. No, I'm fine. He said, nobody mentioned me to you? And I said, no. And he said, well, Aunt Patty, I got saved.
Whoa.
He said, I got goosebumps now.
Yeah.
I gave my heart to the Lord. And he said, I'm calling because I want to apologize. He said, because every time you came into the room, we would get up and leave. And now I know that you're the one I should have been sitting with.
Amen.
I could not believe it. I mean, I began to weep and cry, and that's why they were coming at me so hard the last time, because their son, this was the woman who started all this, her son had got saved, and he's preaching the gospel at them, and they did not like it, so they're coming at me because I'm a Christian, even harder. But I had to choose, and I did this all that time. They were treating me that way. I just continued to pray for them.
Yes.
I just continued to walk in love. I never retaliated, although my flesh wanted to, and especially I wanted to confront, you know, her. But I had to take the word. I had to go to the word and get a hold of the word. I had to live. Go through those situations led by the Spirit of God and not by my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, because they were hurt.
Yes.
They were broken. They were embarrassed. You know, all of those things that come with that. But you see, God turned it around. for his glory. And now most of the family members are saved. And it was shortly after that, not too long, one of her sons was killed in a car accident, graduation night. He was 18 years old. And I remember the very first thing she said to me when I called her to say I was sorry was, "I don't think he was saved." And I thought, oh, that's horrible. Now, I know he was saved because I took him to church and he gave his heart to the Lord.
Amen.
He may not have been living that way.
But he was saved.
But he was saved. And he went to the altar. He was dancing and singing when he was probably 10 or 11 years old. I got saved at 10 years old. Didn't realize what had happened in my life. It wasn't until I was, just about 30 when I came to the Lord. And now I can look back and think, wow, I see God's hand in my life from that time I received him as a child and always had a desire to know him and know if he was real. But it wasn't until, you know, a crisis in my life brought me to my knees where I said, God, show me if you're real.
Amen.
You know? So I believe he was. So, you know, all of her children ended up saved. The ones she kept telling to leave the room every time I came in. And now she's saved. And so, you know, God has the last word. If we walk by the Spirit, now who knows what would have happened if I retaliated and acted just like them and did what my flesh was wanting me to do, you know? But we have to walk by the Spirit.
And that the way to do it is by trusting him, believing in him, and holding on to him. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you.
Joyful. Yeah, yeah.
Are you 18 to 29 years old? If so, Launch Young Adult Ministries is the place you want to be. We meet every Sunday night at 6:30 in the Double Bubble at Lighthouse Christian Church, 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's fun and fellowship, so come on out as we get you ignited to launch you to where God wants you to be. For more information about Launch, check us out at our website, ourlighthouse.net, or on Instagram at launch_youngadultministries. And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. We know he's coming
around. We know he's coming around. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Join us every Thursday night for Discipleship Encounters here at Lighthouse Christian Church. That's right, it's Thirsty Thursday from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and we're spending time learning, encountering, and becoming equipped as believers for the great revival that's beginning to unfold. Come experience the power of the gospel and learn how to share Christ in a modern world. For more information, go to ourlighthouse.net or show up at 1250 North Banana River Drive. There's no cost for this event, and child care is provided.
Hello, and welcome back to Turn the Light On. This is Martita with Patty Wilson today. We're having a great time just sharing about the Word and how to overcome evil with good. I love the testimony that you shared, because I went through some of it myself. Not everybody, but a lot of people pushed me to the side. And I remember years later, one of my nieces came into town and said, can we go to lunch? And I said, sure. And at lunch, she said, oh my gosh, now I understand.
See?
She says, I thought because they talked about you that you were the bad person and that you were bringing strife and division in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm saved, I realize that you were the one that I should have held on to and learn and not go through everything I went through because mm-hmm. I didn't know any better.
Exactly.
And so we're talking about walking in the Spirit. So let's go to the Word. I'm going to read in Galatians 5. I'm going to start in 16. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. So I said, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation of the law of Moses. That changes everything. Mm-hmm. So for you out there that are listening, being connected to the Spirit is submitting to the Lord and saying, Lord, I really want to follow you. Holy Spirit, guide me.
Yes.
And spend time with him. Like we said, renew the mind by reading the Word so you understand. The Word is there. It's a love letter from the Lord to guide you. And the new living that you are, the new creature mm-hmm. that you are, it's like moving to a new country and learning how they live, how their traditions, their lifestyle, everything. That's what the Bible does for us. The more we do that, the more that we will walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word says that the fruit of the Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Ooh.
So you see, as we were talking before, the more we get closer to the Lord, the more we read the Word, the more we hang around with people that are believing mm-hmm. the same thing, the more we become like Christ, and the more the fruit will start changing. Automatically, it will change.
Yes.
So, Heavenly Father, I pray right Thank now you. For everybody listening that they will come to you, open their hearts to receive you. Let the Spirit flow through them, Lord Jesus, so that they can see the changes happening. They don't have to fight. It will flow through because you will transform them. We bless you all. Have an amazing Thanksgiving. Yes. We love you. And have a great day in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are on Sunday at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning for our radio show, Turn the Light On, at 7:30 on WMIE 91.5 or any of our social media channels. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to see you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.